This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
8 years, 590 podcasts, close to 40,000 downloads, around 350 live-to-air broadcasts, 4 sick days, 21,000 hours. This is a special farewell to our screamer, Sonya Hammer, on Sci-Fi and Scream Undead. Also, we're going to review Ghost in the Shell.
8 years. No, 8 years. That's amazing. Thanks, Clayton.
No problem.
Yes, so eight... Yeah, it's probably a little bit over 8 years, but that's cool.
I just copied your Facebook post,
so... I know. Which reminds me that, yeah... That was about 40,000, 42,000 broadcast hours, I think, if I added it all up. That doesn't count the other extra hours.
The hours at the computer.
God knows how long.
Or the panels.
It's probably another 20,000 hours or something. Mm. I don't know. Panels, Queer Geeks of Oz. And who's that voice?
That's me.
That's Dylan.
Hi.
Also known as Dillstick back in the day.
Right now it's delicious, I do believe. There is the hashtag delicious.
Oh, okay.
How's that trending?
Yeah, how's that trending? I don't know. There's a lot of non-Dylan Adler related substance in there. Yeah.
No, so you've been a busy chap.
Yes. Well, I have to credit a lot of it to working underneath Sonya Hammer because...
That sounds dodgy.
Well, let me finish.
Keep it clean.
Keep it clean. No,
I'm talking about me.
I can say safely that, you know, working underneath Sonya's direction and Sonya's projects, you show up to a gig like you're on trial to get the job. And it's so inspiring and so astounding to work for somebody who has that level of dedication and energy. I mean, you make other people want to do better and do more. So thank you. I mean, I wouldn't be doing what I do if I didn't have that directive from you, Sonya. So thanks.
Oh, yeah, no, well, I'm going to try not to choke you. No, choke myself over this one. Queer Geeks of Oz was something I felt just had to happen, had to be done. They were doing it in the US, and that's going back, 2009 or 2010, I think it was, Geeks Out, based in New York. So they were, like, talking about representation, and back then it was like there was virtually nothing. As far as the only time you saw a queer in a sci-fi or horror, they were dying. I mean, it still happens, but not to the extent that it was happening. You know, there was just nothing to look forward to. There was nothing positive happening.
And it wasn't so much as a death, you know, like you say, let's look at, say, not like a positive death, but like a warranted or a deserved death. Like you say, look at Willow and Tara in Buffy, like when, spoilers,
come on,
I know,
it's the
show's
years.
Out. It shows it out now. But when Tara died in Buffy, I mean, that was such an awesome character death because everyone loved Tara and Willow. And for writers to be able to take that away from fans in such a wonderful way, instead of, I guess, you know, like the horror movie deaths where it's like, okay, cool, there's the slut, there's the person of color, there's the queer, let's kill them off quickly.
And always a black person first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Send them out first. Yeah. You know, that's how it works. So there was virtually really nothing good going on. And at the time there was Mormon writer, oh God, what's his name? Anyway, a terrible film, science fiction film. I should have done some homework before I came in here.
No, because that movie doesn't really need to exist.
Well, it had Han Solo in it, Harrison Ford. And it was, oh God, Orson. I think his first name's Orson. Not Wales, obviously, but definitely not. But look, that was such a disappointment that so much money from Hollywood was put into a homophobic, transphobic, hateful person who just happened to write science fiction, and that Hollywood decided to make a film out of his, movies.
No.
That's when I saw Geeks Out and talking about that, and I went like, I must interview these guys, but I didn't actually have a real platform at the time that was, you know, there to do it. So I thought, why not do what they're doing? Do Geeks Out as a live panel. And it was Scott Liston. Hi, Scott. Bless your heart. Who ran Armageddon, which was the second largest, one of the big main commercial geek culture, pop culture conventions here in Australia. He came on the show, and that's when we had the show on at 10 o'clock. I was always on at 10 o'clock. What am I talking about? I think it was 11 o'clock at night because it went for 2 hours back then. When I first started, we had a two-hour show. It went to 1 a.m.
That would have been cool.
That's crazy. 11 to 1.
And you did that live?
And it was live.
Wow.
People did live shows back then.
Oh, yeah.
At 11 p.m.
Why did you look at me then?
I know. I just rolling my eyes. That's what I do. They're on permanent roll-a-thon now. But, yeah, so it was awesome to have him on, and I just put him right on the spot, and I said to him, what if we had a queer panel? Would you, you know, let us have a queer panel? And he went, oh, yes, of course, like that. I think he was a bit startled, you know. So we put him on the spot, and I said, off air, I turned the mics off. I said, I have you now on record, you know, for saying that. So I blackmailed him on the spot in a fun, geeky way. And he was like, you're blackmailing me. I said, yep, that's right. And next thing you know, Queer Geeks of Oz was born.
So blackmailing does pay off.
Sometimes. I call it rainbow mail, you know.
But that was the first one was just so astounding for my memory was just when we had a wealth of queer gamers in the room and queer, and there was one particular guy who came up to me at the end and he was just like, thank you for putting this on because I didn't know that there were other gay gamers. I didn't know that there were gamers out there. And I was like, dude, we are here.
We're here, we're queer and play games.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, and I mean, that led on to a lot of things. I mean, I think we've podcasted every single one of those. Yeah, there's the very original one I'm looking up now, which you can find on the Sci-Fi and Scream / Queer Geeks of Oz. It's on the web page, etc. 2014, that was, I think.
Shut the front door, really?
No. Actually, it was 2000. I thought the first one was...
The first one was in 2013, I do believe. Because 14...
I don't even know what I'm doing.
14 was when we had a photo shoot at Art Boy Gallery.
That's right. That was for the one at Oz Comic Con.
Yes.
Because that was their second Oz Comic Con, and they had that at the old exhibition building here in Melbourne, that beautiful old building, heritage building, world-listed.
And from memory, there was that phenomenal Freddy Krueger cosplayer from memory.
Yes. I thought that was you. Oh, no, there's a photo of you standing next. Yeah. That was cute. Yeah, so no, Armageddon Expo 2013 was the first one, and then it just sort of spiraled, didn't it, onto... and who was on that panel? That was you.
Dina Curie. Dean was on the second one.
Yeah, there was Bailey.
Bailey.
Who can't be with us, sadly. Bailey is useless, as per usual. You're useless, Bailey. You're useless. No. Love you, Bailey. And I've got a message from Bailey. Just thanks for having me on. It was a fantastic experience. It's probably just as well Bailey didn't come in, because if that's all they were going to say, I mean, seriously.
I think I probably would have...
I love you, Bailey.
Had a tear if Bailey was there. If Bailey was here. Just one. I can only afford one.
Yeah, had a few tears as well. But through the years, Bailey has been the original, one of our original queers on Queer Geeks of Oz, which is amazing because Bailey was someone who, I mean, not now, certainly you can't really shut them up, but at the time, you couldn't get boo out of Bailey pretty much until you started talking about horror films, and then Bailey was like, suddenly had their voice, and I'm going to miss that because Bailey is pretty awesome, and... No one talks about Leatherface like Bailey and queers it up. And it was just great fun to have them on the show fairly regularly. We did an A to Z to horror, which has never been finished, sadly.
Clayton and random letters have been picked up and just thrown in anyway. So.
It's a different kind of alphabet.
Yeah.
It's more like alphabet soup horror, I'd say.
Yeah, from memory, it didn't really go into like, it was like this week A, this week D. It was more like this week A, this week J.
Yeah, it was a little bit like that.
Then back to C.
I think L, and we did L a couple of times. We might have done M once or twice. I just lost count.
There's so many organized. In M.
Many of them, yeah.
Oh, many in the letter M. M for...
many in the letter M. Yeah, so, and there was the wonderful John Richards, who went on to do The Fabulous Splendid Chaps, had done, oh gosh, that television series which had geeks in it. Oh, I feel terrible. I can't remember it now. Awful. Oh,
I was just going to say how much I love Splendid Chaps. I just did a show with Petra Elliott.
Oh my God, really?
Mm.
I think I saw her in your vlog.
Yes, that's the right show right there. She did a fabulous cover of Blurred Lines where she talked about gender and, yeah, she talked about misogyny. She sung about misogyny, actually.
Was it like that. Really hot guys in underwear and stuff, or is that a different one?
No, it was, she was actually talking about how there aren't no blurred lines and it's consent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was cool because it was the first time she said she sung it with clothes on.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I was like, oh, cool. We're bringing things here.
Yeah, I'm just looking at some of the old podcasts, actually. Yes, it was John Richards. Luke Miller, who went on to do, he's doing his third, I think it is now, queer video game, which is amazing. There you are. Look at that.
With my gun blade.
Your gun blade. I mean, we couldn't find... You disappeared, didn't you?
It's because I saw Final Fantasy weapons, like, stage right, and I was like, I'm going to be back, and then came back with this big hulking gun blade from Final Fantasy VIII.
As you do, you know? Like, and Lee Galea, fabulous Lee, who made one of the best queer little Australian queer films I've ever seen, probably. Monster Pies, which did phenomenally well, made on a shoestring, literally. And he's got his next film, Neon something, Neon Rainbow, I think it's coming out this year, it's supposed to. Incidentally, I was on a tram about a year ago. It would be about a year ago. And I hadn't seen him in ages. And there he was with his cameraman and a couple of camera people and an actor, I think, and himself directing. I said, have you got a license or permit to do this? And he goes, shh, Sonia, because they put right at the back of the tram, one of those big ones. And I don't think he had a permit, but I shouldn't be saying that, perhaps. I don't care. Look,
do you know how hard it is to get those permits, though?
Probably takes months to get them, too.
Yeah, they're really difficult.
So filming away, you know, showing a bit of nipple.
Yeah, just for you.
Thank you. It is a bit cool in here in the studio, I must say. Yes, so Queer Geeks of Oz went on. We went to Oz Comic Con where they pretty much courted me like crazy. They were ringing me at work, and which was uncomfortable because, you know, at work, I'm not allowed to take personal calls, basically. But they were ringing me at work. They were chasing me through emails. And then they sent someone from America to meet me because they really wanted us. They really wanted us. There was no money in it. Because all of this is about volunteership or madness or, you know, doing stuff for freebies for fun. But they chased us and chased us. And I said yes. And I think that one was packed, wasn't it? The one at 2014.
They were all pretty packed. Every single one of them, I think the absolutely insane one was, the one at PAX. Mm. It was packed at PAX.
And Clayton was there. He was my assistant.
I was the social media
everybody person.
I just remember feeling so daft when we were walking into the theater and it was that massive line. And I was like, I wonder what they're lining up for.
Yeah, I said, what are you waiting for? And they were like, oh, Queer Geeks of Oz. And I was like,
oh, that's
sure.
Yeah. I'm glad that you didn't pass that information on to me, because when I saw people coming in, I was just like, oh, God. Oh, God.
Yeah,
it was great, though. It was fun. Once the adrenaline had, like, kicked in and run its course, I was like, ah, oh, cool, I got this.
I think we lost about 5 or 10 minutes just because people were still coming in.
Mm.
Yeah.
And it really mucked up our timing. But that was okay. We made it. And Rachel was on that one. Rachel and... Which I'm really crying.
There was Rachel. Okay. We had
Lauren
Stardust.
That's right. Yes. Excellent.
And Liam Messler.
Yes.
Ah, yes. Oh, Liam from GX Australia, which is having its very last one. They're not doing another one after this.
What? Why?
I haven't had a chance to speak to him, actually, but I'd love to know why, Liam. I think he's a busy person. You know, he has to make a living. All this stuff is done for freebies, you know, just because of the passion that people have. So that makes it...
Exactly. You know, and it's so hard.
So time consuming.
Because, you know, a lot of time, and this is like what the thing for anyone in a volunteer position, where it's, you know, you do it for fun and, you know, for the love of it. And people say, oh, well, you do it for free for the exposure. But I say with exposure, that's how you die on the Oregon Trail.
Yes.
So...
Right.
Leaving that with
the
you
Oregon
right there.
Trail, don't get me started.
Dysentery and
eventually cannibalism.
Eventually.
Yes, exactly.
Sounds like Tasmania. But Speaking of Tasmania, we never got... The idea for Quirkics of Oz is that we would travel with it, but like anything, Sonia didn't have any money, Sonia just didn't happen. And also, how to corral people, do you know what I mean? Like, because everyone has lives, except for Bailey. So everybody... Thanks,
I don't know, she's like out running around right now.
I know. Wherever not you here, are. Though, not turning up, you know, specifically. No, there's a lot of love there, believe it or not. But yeah, no, didn't get a chance to take it around the countryside. Wanted to. And I even said that on YouTube.
You could have talked to the Leyland brothers.
The who?
I might be too old.
The Leyland. Is that a circus?
Okay. Never mind.
Is that like...
I know the Wayne brothers.
No, the Leyland brothers were... I travel all over the countryside, ask the Leyland brothers.
Oh.
It was a TV show. And yeah. I'm apparently really old.
I'm not Australian, no. So
that's that.
That could be it.
I'm a millennial, so
yeah,
it's
you
all
know
good.
Nothing.
I'm gonna. Just, I'm cutting that reference out of the podcast.
Fine, save yourself the effort. Leave everything in.
Yeah,
everything unadulterated, etc. But just looking at some of the photos, oh, I'll have to share some of those on Facebook.
Oh, absolutely, nostalgia
old photos. And yeah, so thanks to the people of PAX, fabulous for that chance. I didn't realize it was going to be so. Huge, but word of mouth always works, doesn't it? And yeah, thanks to everyone who was involved. But also just a bit of time, not to bring it down a bit of a notch or two, but just as a respect to Lindsay C. Walker, who unfortunately passed away last year, who did the... the great artwork for us. I've lost it.
Do you want to take a break?
Maybe a little break. Gotcha. Oh, no.
Okay, go.
Yes, Quirkics of Oz. So, yes, we miss you, Lindsay. Fantastic artist, and I know your family and loved ones and your daughters miss you too, of course. And as a geek... I just couldn't be beat, basically. I just knew nothing compared to this person. She was just wonderful and did all that artwork for us for free and volunteered her time. And you know what? She came to every single panel. I think she couldn't make it to PAX because she wasn't very well at the time. But she came to every single one.
Also,
she was
huge.
There, you know, she was in a wheelchair at one point, but she was right up the front and she always had good things to say. And I always, you know, will never forget her support.
Huge, huge thank you as well to Dean Rankin.
Oh, yes.
I still have my head in a jar. Still have my...
pickling it. Did you get a head in a jar, Clayton? Did you get your head...
Which one was
put
this?
In a jar?
Which
Dean Rankin,
the cartoonist, the artist.
No, I did not get a head in a jar. Oh.
That makes two of us. I never got around to it either. Never mind. But everyone else got theirs, and that's good.
I assume this is like Futurama
style.
Yeah. Yes. Dean Rankin, fabulous artist. So I haven't been in touch for a while. Sorry, Dean. He wanted me to write something, and things have happened. I haven't had a chance, but we'll get in touch in the future. But... He also volunteered and did some great artwork for Quirkics of Oz for the panels and a t-shirt as well for Joy, the flying unicorn. So he did some wonderful things there. They're very rare. Mr. Quentin Tarantino has one that I gave to him. So, his work was amazing. You know, he works for, is it Boing Boing, who do the Simpsons comics? So. Great artist, and I'm looking forward to the book, which I was supposed to be in, but I'm a slacker. Hopefully it's not over.
Says that she's a slacker, but she has like 30,000 hats that she wears differently throughout the day.
Well, lately it's been two hats, maybe. The one is get out of bed hat, and the other one is eat hat.
There's the go to work hat.
Oh, yes, I can't forget that. My fabulous work people.
I'm all about the eat hat.
What a weird nerd they go.
Oh, okay. Look at me.
The eat hat.
There's like two Polynesians on this side of the table. It's like, yeah.
Watch out. Nothing worse than poly nerds. Are we poly nerds or poly geeks or what are we?
I don't know. I never really thought about the linguistics of it or the semantics.
So, look, Quirkics of Oz, like a lot of things, it just ran out of steam. I couldn't help it. Just... too much to do, like, and worrying about other stuff, and, you know, end of the day. But for those who did come to the panels and met some awesome people who ended up contributing, actually. So we had Jake Derrick. I've forgotten your name, Jake. Why do you have to have a hyphen in your name? Your first two names, Jake? Gosh, there you are. Jake Derrick Franklin. Thank you, Jake. Awesome. Rachel Humphreys, thank you. Lauren Stardust, thank you. And everyone else that was part of the PAX one too, which is good. Clayton taking photos and everything.
And posting stuff.
And yes, and yes. And the Twittering. The Twittering went crazy. Especially at the, it was at actually the year before the Oz Comic Con one. Or was it the same year? Wait a second. I've lost count. I've really lost count
how
many panels.
It's just been a blur.
No, because we did two Oz Comic Cons, didn't we?
We did two Oz Comic Cons.
So we did two Queer Geeks of Oz in 1 year. No wonder I was knackered by the end of 2015.
Was that the year that I also came in and I had that?
Oh, you were really
I was so ill.
The weather.
I was so, so sick. And I was there with, all I remember is Anya's husband was there, and then there was Hamish, who was also on Sci-Fi and Scream, who was a great, he's part of the Melbourne Queer Comic Book readers.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting between these like really two cool people
Hayden.
And just coughing.
Who's Hamish?
I don't know.
Hayden Clem.
Hamish.
Hayden Clem. I was shortening the, I was getting rid of the dun and the kle. And
that's okay.
And Hayden just posted on Facebook a beautiful new tattoo, which looks amazing.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
I don't. Oh, really? That's cool.
I'm sure some people who are listening actually will be friends with Hayden on Facebook.
Yeah, so Oz Comic Con was at in 2015 when it was at the new venue, so at the Melbourne Convention and Exhibition Centre here in Australia. So that's when we had, Dean did his Queer Geek Kanga onesie. It was just so strange. It was great though. I love it. And yes, yeah, there we go. There's Jimmy and Jake with long hair.
I was so sick in that photo.
And
you
were
sick in that one.
Mark, that's his name. Mark Leslie Ford, film producer and actor for a film called Stray. Yes, married to the wonderful demon. What was her name?
Anya, the vengeance
Anya.
Demon.
Oh, that's not really her name. Emma Caulfield. From Buffy. So it was great. It was a fabulous year that year because I managed to interview, Emma Caulfield, obviously Mark, and Tara, Amber Benson. So it was pretty awesome. And Hayden's got a tattoo from, whoa, what is that?
I'm hoping Dylan knows because I think it's a comic book
Are
reference.
They ants?
It's
pretty serious.
I don't know, kind of like Cthulhu. My head.
Yeah.
But look, hey, it was great. Hayden was fabulous. We really got into comics that year because I think it was really important. You know, we were saying pretty much the first Queer Geeks of Oz was all about just a general representation and how things needed to change and what was, you know, going on politically as well.
Yeah.
And then the second one was more about, I think, video games. We had more. And then the third one was very much about comics.
Because I think in that time, you know, we had where
Batwoman.
Batwoman, she got engaged to her partner. It was confirmed that Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn were a couple. It was a very, very great space. We had the first gay marriage in Marvel.
Yeah, yeah. That period.
Yeah, and there was a lot of pressure on DC to have a gay marriage. But in the DC universe, the main characters don't actually get married. So that's what they were saying. They wouldn't have a gay or same-sex marriage because they don't do marriage in DC. Mm. So why would they break their mold?
I don't know.
When there's so many but they have so many rad queer relationships, you know, Midnighter with, I'm going to go on my rant now, you know, Midnighter and Apollo. That's a great, great same-sex relationship. You know, they've got Poison Ivy and Harley Quinn's on again, off again, which is just heartbreaking and amazing. I mean, like in one of the latest episodes where Harley, she's like kind of drifting off to sleep and she says to Poison Ivy, she's like, Pammy, if I'm sleeping, don't wake me up. And it's just like that, it comic ends, and you're like, oh, my heart.
Yeah.
Why would you Why would you do that?
No, it's good because obviously that makes Harley Quinn, her choice to identify, however, a bisexual character. So, like, so it's even better representation.
And, of course, recently with Wonder Woman, you know, the hints and suggestions of the bisexuality there. And the film coming up.
Do you know, I could totally see Diana as, like, an amazing pansexual character.
Yeah, I think pansexual is probably more attuned.
Because she loves everyone.
Mm.
That's her whole thing. She's love. Mm. Which is weird that she became the god of war.
Well, love and war, it's wasn't the her same dad thing, the god of war,
though? No, her dad's Zeus.
Oh, I thought it was
Ares. She beat Ares, and then she got the title of the God of War.
There we go.
And fun fact, when they did the Marvel and DC crossover, she also got Thor's hammer.
Wow.
But then,
if anyone can wield it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
She's ready.
And I'm just looking forward to the film. Patty Jenkins directing.
Gal Gadot.
I know.
I was kind of hesitant at first.
Me too.
Only because...
But then I heard watched a couple of interviews with her, and I was like, she's perfect. Yeah, she can do it.
The first initial shots because Gal Gadot, she was a runway model, physically striking, very, very beautiful woman. But when you saw her, it was, she didn't have she had a model's body.
Potentially on the undernourished side.
Exactly. So when you kind of think of her as, you know, this Amazonian warrior princess, you can't be... I guess intimidated by somebody who looks like they can blow away in the breeze, but then you saw her in the the stills, and she
and the
just
trailers. Wow, like,
she has like Ronda Rousey's body.
Yeah,
and
she's done the work.
She did. She's in the hard yards. She's on those protein shakes.
She's tall, and I think she's fair. You know, stunning, and I'm really.
Do you want
to
be alone?
Be alone with myself, as it turns out. But look, so much in that period of time over the. 5 years for the Queer Geeks of Oz. So, yeah, I'm just really fortunate to have done it, and it hopefully will lead on to other things. But it's always amazing, you know, the feedback. Still get the occasional email or get the occasional message from someone saying, when am I going to do another one? I'm like going, I don't know.
Well, it may still be in the future.
Maybe. Or doesn't need to. I mean...
Absolutely.
Maybe just... Okay, there you go. There's your answer. Maybe a nuance of it. But yeah, look, and big thanks and shout out to Scott Liston, originally from Armageddon, which is now AMC. And thank you very much to Blue Promotions, Sophie Blue Promotions, from organising the Oz Comic Con and chasing me, and obviously spending a lot of money on telephone calls. She was in hospital one time when she called me. Like, she was so stressed out, she had to have some time out in hospital and rang me from her hospital bed. And I was like, okay, are you all right? Like, I hope I've got nothing to do with this. But she's a very hardworking, awesome woman and could see the potential. So thanks to her and her team. And, of course, the people from Oz Comic Con. Some of them are Americans. That's cool. And of course, PAX, which is associated with them too. Big thanks to all the folk, Guy Blomberg and all the other people involved. Another one that I would ring at midnight or 1 a.m. because I knew he'd be up and he'd be going, yeah, I'm up. I'll be up till maybe 5. And we would just chat. And again, it was all about he really wanted to see us there. It wasn't, you know, it didn't ever feel tokenistic. It always felt like, they wanted us there, and he, you know, I would send a press release. He would slightly tweak it, send it back. I would tweak what he had tweaked, and this would go on and on for a few weeks until we both decided what was reasonable. And the thing is, then it had to be sent to New York to the base. I mean, all this stuff happened. It was like it really taught me a very valuable lesson. That is, your life is never really your own when you stand up and you. Promote things or you put yourself in a public forum, you suddenly become
you have to
answer to everything, and you suddenly become this property of other people's ideas of what you are. It's really interesting. But yeah, thank you for all of that. Moving on.
Yeah.
It's like we've talked a lot about Queer Geeks of Oz, haven't we, Clayton?
Approximately 28 minutes.
Wow.
So after all these 8 years or so,
mm-hmm.
favorite interview?
Ooh, That is tough.
It should be.
Yeah.
You've had some amazing interviews.
Yeah. I've done Broad as well, so there was some crossovers there when I was doing Broad on Monday nights at, on Joy. Probably the most popular and the most exciting would have had to be, Quentin Tarantino.
That was exciting for me too, because I met Quentin Tarantino as well.
He said, what did he say to you?
I just need to go to the bathroom.
I think he thought you were a bathroom attendant.
I think he thought that I was actually part of the interview, but I was just there as moral support.
Yeah. But I would have liked to have had you in, but I had to share it with this other bloke. I don't know who he was, sorry. But
Dude from Sin,
yeah. S-Y-N, apparently. Cool. But end of the day, we were on last people to do the interview for the day, and it was great. He went over.
He gave you extra time.
Gave us about 4 or 5 extra minutes. Mm. And you could tell that the people around him, they're all like standing away in the corners. They were all like raising their eyebrows and doing the nod, like, time's up. And then he just, as soon as he said, no, I'm going to give these guys some more time, they were like, okay, you are God. You can do what you like. I mean, that's power.
Absolutely. Seriously.
We'll give him one more question each, okay? Is that going to be okay with you guys?
And they were like, yes. Because everything was running over time, of course. Mm. They always do. And these are these junkets they do. So they send you the email saying, you want to interview this person? And we're like, oh, yes, please. What time is it? And fortunately, I've had a job or have a job still where I can, I could extend my time, my hours, ring up a little bit sick or whatever and not worry too much about it. Meanwhile, run down to a hotel up the road here in Melbourne and do this interview. Crown Plaza, I think it was, at that hotel this year. Oh, last.
And you had January. A little panic attack on the way because you got a little bit lost in Crown.
I got a bit lost in Crown because I'm not a good person with all the flashing lights and
no things. Tell you what, I've done so many interviews at Crown and like the Crown, the different hotels as well, and it's confusing,
it's a minefield
and horrible. And if you are lost and you realize that you're in the wrong space, well, you
can be screwed.
Yeah, that's absolutely
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The other one I really really liked was Jamie Babbitt, actually, who did But I'm a Cheerleader from way back, a queer classic film.
That's like one of my favorite movies.
She was fabulous. She was awesome. And we talked much longer than we were supposed to, but that was okay. I think I was 3 in the morning here or something. So it was her breakfast the day before.
Is this one of the ones where you had to lock yourself in the studio because if you left, you couldn't come back in?
Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much. And she was just fantastic. She's worked with so many awesome people. I mean, just the list just goes on and on, and to see someone who can really do that amazing work, and Anna Lily Amapour, who did A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, fantastic. She's also a DJ, just an amazing horror film. Who would have thought Muslim woman vampire on a skateboard? I mean, who would ever have thought that would happen?
That sounds like a radical Islam.
It is.
I did that. Yeah.
No, she was fantastic, except they cut the interview off because we just engaged so much in conversation. We just lost sense of time and they just cut us off. Never mind.
Jax.
And of course, Amber Benson, mm-hmm. definitely. And Emma Caulfield, articulate. Of course they are. They're very good actors. Really passionate about their work. Their love for Buffy, 20 years later, the love just doesn't die. And on top of that, advocates for same-sex equality and queer, equality and everything. Just one of the best tags I've ever had. And a really great time. I'm sure there's so many others, but it's just...
Taika Waititi.
Oh, yes. Oh, thanks. These are all your favourite interviews, Clayton.
I just know the ones, you talked about the most. So
I raved about the most. And republished the most. Taika Waititi, amazing. He came up to the studio, and he's quite a little guy. And so I wanted to crush him. I wanted to hug him, but he's so tiny. He's actually rather small for a Polynesian. But fantastic guy. And again, we went over time, and he did probably one of the best tags ever.
His tag is awesome.
It is pretty
absolutely
cool.
Absolutely awesome.
Just such a confident guy, knows exactly his focus, where he's going, and making some brilliant films and also picky films where he helps to produce upcoming Polynesian talent and so on. So really, really excited by that.
Let me interrupt you for 1 second.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Kia ora, this is Taika Waititi, and you are listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94. Is there a dot in there?
Yes,
just
point.
94.9. Kia ora, this is Taika Waititi, stuntman, actor, director, lover, friend, confidant, shoulder to cry on. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
That's fun.
You never get a Māori to shut the fuck up. I'm sorry.
It's true.
That's all you need to say, Taika. Just say your name and then it's just... He went on. So that was cool. I didn't turn the mic off. Clearly.
With a voice like that, I really like, just one more word.
Very cool.
See, like, we've got these big studio headphones on right now and I need a moment after hearing that.
Yeah. Like, he's an actor too, you know. And that fabulous vampire movie. Oh,
what,
your favourite?
In the Shadows?
Yes. Hilarious. David and Margaret hated it. You know, David Stratton and Margaret, what's her name?
Oh, they agreed on something. Wow.
They hated it. They said it's so childish. And I was like, yep. There's a problem with that.
The best part.
Also, big shout out to Who's Afraid? Maria Lewis. Because our love for Taika was something that brought us together. And also Girls on Film Festival. Thank you there. Because I did a panel with Maria, who I'd never met, didn't know who the hell I was going to be meeting at this feminist film convention. And they said, oh, you two will get on fine. And we did. We got on more than fine. We're like best buds and you know her now and the rest is history.
We
and,
like spent, you know. So I met Maria in a toilet here. This is
not what you think.
It's not what you think. It's not what you think. It wasn't in the club toilet. It was like here at Joy, and we're in the bathroom just yapping for like 5 minutes.
And meanwhile, I'm going, where the hell are they? We're going to do this recording or what?
Tell us about that. No, because I remember now she came in this like awesome Bart Simpson, like a million like Bart Simpson.
Was
prints.
A Halloween one?
Yeah,
was, yeah.
She was when she was doing the 30 Days of Halloween outfits.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the coolest thing ever.
And now she's an author as well as many other things. So the character Tommy Grayson is a werewoman. That's W-E-R-E.
Not an aware woman.
Well, she is an aware, awoke woman. And it's really, it's a bit of a riff on her biracialness. And Maria identifies as and being part Māori and all that sort of stuff and identity. And there's a shout out in the book, the second one, Who's Afraid Too. So I want to say thank you so much, Maria, for your support. It was great meeting you and actually, yeah, really loving the same sort of horror together. She even does a, you know, look, I get an acknowledgement in this book. It's really pathetic. No, it's cool. She goes, and Sonia Hammer for expanding my horizons and ripping people of color and horror and genre like no other. It could rhyme if I said it properly. So thank you. Chur, as they say. Which maybe brings us to...
Our review?
Our review that we did promise, didn't we?
We did. Mm. I chucked it in the beginning.
Ghost in the Shell.
An aside. Mm. Ghost in the Shell. Sonia, we went and had our final movie together, at least.
Oh, God.
For Sci-Fi and Squid.
Well, yes.
So. Does this mean you guys can watch movies together for fun instead of having to, like, work it?
Yeah. Oh. We had fun at the same time.
That's so actually exciting, though. You can watch
a
movie.
You don't have to think about the movie.
Right.
You know? Sometimes you don't want to think about the movie. Like that time we went to
Warcraft.
Oh, my God, Dylan. Mm. Did you have to... I was not trying to think. That's the problem.
Apparently went into that movie. Okay, sorry to cut into your review time, but that was like the... Okay. So they cherry-picked the hell out of like 14 different stories and smashed them together, and it was just... awful. It was just awful. And look,
so
orcs have their own long history and detailed history. Why were they looking like... why do they have a lot of Polynesian culture in there? That's what I didn't understand. Why were the orcs like...
Because orcs are bad, and so, you know...
But they were bad as well. It's your review. I'll let...
Representation of orcs was terrible. That is true.
Orcs are always underrepresented in...
I know, and they...
And they're beautiful beings.
They are. Gorgeous. Except for the...
Those muscles.
No nasal hair.
Those, yeah. It's those muscles and also the honour. They have a strict honour code.
Mm. And plus, they'll grind bones to make bread. No, that's
no,
giant.
That's ogres.
Yeah. Something that maybe Ghost in the Shell doesn't have is something called honour.
It, yeah, I look, I'm going to start off by saying I really enjoyed the film. I'm just going to say it.
Uh-huh.
I enjoyed it. Doesn't mean I don't have issues. But it was actually fun.
Hmm.
It was beautiful to look at in this futuristic Tokyo. But
we saw it in 3D as
we
well.
We did see it in 3D. Actually really good 3D, which is rare. Because 3D is usually very poorly used.
Yep.
And this was actually quite good for at least chunks. 5 minutes at least. Yeah. So... Okay, I've said that part now.
The elephant's out of the house, or whatever they call it.
I'm owning my enjoyment of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Did you enjoy the film, Sonia?
Lots of things I didn't enjoy, which made it less enjoyable.
Yep.
Of course. I think, yes, I'm right. I agree with you that the technique of the 3D was much higher than I would. You know, I was worried. Basically, when they said, oh, this version you'll be seeing will be in 3D, I was like, oh, no, that's not going to help, is it? But then I saw it and...
There's actually a few things that are weird not in 3D, too.
Yeah. But a film shouldn't be just about its technique, its technology, and its effects. It should not be, especially when it's riding on so much history and past from the anime classics and, you know, the background to it. It's been a long time since I've seen the anime Ghost in the Shell. Have you watched it?
I bought it yesterday, actually.
Okay. So you watched it?
Not yet. No. But we also have Dylan, who is a bit of an expert on the anime. So
yes.
Tell us about the anime. I mean, you've not seen the film yet, have you?
No, but that's because I heard that it's very, very similar to the 1995 anime, which in my opinion is like the greatest movie of all time. Okay. It's one of my favorites. It was when they like legitimized anime as, especially in a wider, not just in Japan, but had it as like an international level of a genre of, you know, amazing stories. And what I saw of when I just saw the ads and they just had like a bunch of white people squinting and they're set in Tokyo, I was just like, this is racist. That's my thoughts on it. But when people are squinting and they're playing Japanese characters, I just there's a line.
It was a Cloud Atlas, which is appalling. But yes, with the racism. But,
I have commented many times on Facebook and other places about the whitewashing in this film just from the trailers and whatever else. It was much worse than I expected.
I think what got me was, why do it?
Yes.
Now, pretty simple. Why do it? Is it because they're so concerned no one will go and see it if it has an Asian lead? And that really disturbs me, for one thing. There's so many fabulous actors that could definitely do those roles. If that's what they're worried about and they had to have someone as big name like Scarlett Johansson, then they clearly have a problem.
Well, that's why I'm taking a stand and I'm not going to see the Death Note live action.
No.
Because when...
Heard it's even worse.
Well, when Edward Zoe... It is. Mm. Because when Edward Zoe, who's a Japanese actor, when he auditioned for the part as Kira, they said they didn't want an Asian actor to play the lead. Let's just think about that for a second.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, the studio for, at least for Ghost in the Shell, I haven't seen anything where they've confirmed they didn't want an Asian woman playing the lead. But we've got confirmation from Edward Zoe that Death Note most certainly didn't. And I love William Dafoe. So him being in the film, I'm just like, look, you know, Bill Dafoe, I can't. I love you, bro, but I can't watch that movie.
Yeah. Understandable. And the Japanese movies are fantastic. I haven't seen the anime of it, but I've seen the Japanese films.
Yes, yeah.
And I haven't seen Ella Chain as well, but I've seen the first two, and they are amazing. And a lot of fun.
Well, don't watch the live-action Japanese version of Attack on Titan.
Okay, I won't do that.
Just it's one of my favourite animes and mangas, but just don't.
Have you seen the live-action... what thing we were just talking about?
Ghost in the Shell.
Death Note.
No, I haven't, because I just... I think maybe the live-action Sailor Moon or the live-action Attack on Titan, or a lot of the live-action in general, You hate watch them.
Yeah. Okay, well,
But is it good?
I really liked them, but I haven't seen the anime or read the manga, so... I don't know. So, based on that, I really enjoyed them.
Okay, cool.
And my Japanese boyfriend enjoyed them too.
Okay, sweet.
So.
Now, I've got a message. Actually, one of the posts I put up yesterday, Zhuan Wong, who's a cool person, good friend on the old Facebook there, talking about Ghost in the Shell and racism and whitewashing in general. There's a great little cartoon I've got there from Josh Luna. So they whitewashed you too, huh? And it's got, you know, a whole bunch of different
Jesus
characters. Jesus. Well, that's the original. Airbender, which is like...
Goku, I think that is.
Yeah.
I don't know who the guy in the suit is. Anyone?
Sure. No.
No.
I'm not wearing my glasses and that screen's really far away.
No. Is that Korra in the background or no?
I think so.
Legend of Korra?
I think so. Okay. Well, what Zhuan says is, to be fair, Avatar is the worst whitewashing ever and made worse by the brownwashing of the villains. That's
absolutely
true. But seriously, he says, Ming-Na Wen should be the star of Ghost in a Shell.
I do love Ming-Na Wen. Ming-Na Wen. I can't say her name. Ming-Na Wen. Third time lucky. She's amazing.
She's a nerd.
She is. She's in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yep.
And I first saw her in ER, where she originally had a Western name and then changed her name in the series, which was a great statement for
that is cool.
Asian actresses.
Yeah. I mean, and there's probably more. We just never see them taking or being given these roles, which are really significant. And why is it important? Because it's... Of course it's important. It's very important.
Last comment on Ming-Na.
Yes.
Ming-Na.
You need to cut that
Wen.
Out.
I need Ming-Na Wen.
You need to cut that out.
I probably should. No. In the series Stargate Universe, she plays a lesbian character very effectively.
Cool.
So it's a really great representation.
Mm. Yeah, we need that. And... also, you can MIC have a good little thing about representation mattering and as well, and talking about whitewashing and stuff. And I know it's a kind of an abbreviated way of doing it, but I'll put that on the Sci-Fi and Screen page. I'm sure there's lots of other information too of why, you know, we shouldn't have to explain things like feminism these days. We shouldn't have to explain racism, what that means. But unfortunately, we live at a time when people... very comfortably in their privilege opt out of those discussions because they don't want to face it, they don't want to be confronted because apparently it's confrontational, but it's like all these microaggressions,
all
they add up to out and blatant discrimination eventually, and it's just time to stop.
My favorite is when someone in on the I guess the non-oppressed side of things start talking about their own oppression.
It's like
you don't talk about these things until you're faced with another with a minority's oppression. You don't actually care about your own people's plights.
Yeah.
You just don't want to hear about anyone else's.
Exactly. And it's time to shut your mouth, basically, and listen.
Or if you care so much, go out and do something.
Listen, ask someone. Ask a person of colour. Ask a person from a background that's different from yours. Ask a person who may have a disability as such or anything. Just ask them. Let them speak.
So going back to Ghost in the Shell, we're looking at a future Tokyo here. And, well, that's what I approximately assume it is. But we're probably about 10% of the characters in the entire film, background or anything, are Asian. Like, the rest of it is white people, Caucasian, personal colour thrown in there, maybe. And it's really odd. Like, and then the representations.
Especially when they try to put on a Japanese sounding accent. It's like, why?
Yeah.
That was awkward with, is it Kuzu? I was just that character, the male character who is synthetic or whatever they are, a robot. Just really bad performance. Really disappointing.
And the restaurants, they kind of walk in and out or fight in and out, whatever. And the markets they have and stuff are all very much Chinese as well. Mm. They're not even what you see in Japan. So, and this film was funded by two Chinese companies. So, I've read that when Memoirs of a Geisha was made, they cast all Chinese people as Japanese people, which apparently is actually more offensive to Japanese people than the whitewashing.
Hmm.
That's
well, all round a mess, I would say.
Absolutely.
But it did remind me of Blade Runner, and it reminded me... No, but it reminded me that Blade Runner is a superior film.
Yeah, definitely.
For sure. Yes.
So but what that are you goes for it? So many genres, though.
Yeah. So what are you going to give it? Are you going to rate this?
Oh, look, I would... Yeah, no, because I rated it a film without the whitewashing. I'd actually probably give it a good 7.
Mm.
With the whitewashing, like 4.
So, yeah, I'm giving it a 2 out of 10. Just mm-hmm. don't bother. Very disappointed in Scarlett Johansson. On top of that, when you see Under the Skin, you see her in another science fiction movie. Fantastic. If you haven't seen it, go. Please see it. Under the Skin.
Fantastic film.
It's the strangest, most wonderful, scary sci-fi horror there is. Actually, I put the horror before the sci-fi, as it always should be. Yes, the sci-fi and Scream. That's Ghost in a Shell. Do what you like. Go and see it if you want to. Give them more money so they can make more shit. Up mm-hmm. to you. Up to you. But if you do go and see it, yeah, maybe post a few things that matter so people can start to see. We're not whinging. We don't always whinge, do we? Why are you always whinging, Sonia?
Well, I think when we look at other, you know, some other titles out there and, you know, other modes or where we don't have, I guess, the laying on thick, and I'm going to call it white feminism. I'm going to say it is. It's just what it is. When you look at other modes, I'm going to talk about it, you know, I mentioned it a fair bit, but when we look at, say, video games or comic books where we do have, or even the source material, where we have, you know, people of varying different nationalities, varying different backgrounds, socio-political, economic, and they don't need to kind of pander to the whiter audience. And they don't.
Well, they don't.
Straight up. A great example, Avatar. I mean, you know, you look at the varying and rich ethnic backgrounds, and then they stay the same when they're the villains. But not for the protagonists.
Because only people of color can be evil.
Yeah, and especially when they're like Arabic and Indian backgrounds.
Mm.
And it's like, what the hell did you guys just do?
Yeah. Argument for the whitewashing of the film is that Major is not an Asian character in the anime either. Do you have a response to that, either of you?
Yeah, and look, okay, I think in terms of, like, cosplay, I think that's cool. I think, you know, people can get onto that. But then when you're putting forward a franchise and then you're cutting out the people who made the franchise, the culture in which that franchise was able to emerge and prosper, and then you're saying, no, this is our idea now, then I think that's a problem.
That's very reasonable.
Yep, I'm the same. It's like, you know, come on. If that's your only stand for the argument, what about the other characters and what about... It's just awkward. Why is the mother then not white?
Well, minor spoiler really, but the person who's put into Scarlett Johansson's body is an Asian woman. Yep. So we're actually literally whitewashing. It's not even figurative.
It's like, it just gives me the creeps. It's just... creepy. It's just creepy, you know, and uncomfortable. And this is 2017. We have great films like Moonlight happening, and yet science fiction falls down. We don't need to fall down. Science fiction and fantasy doesn't need to. For one thing, it's fantasy. So, yes, you can have people of color play in, you know, like four, the first... Idris Elba played. I can't remember the character, but there was so much flack and trolling and horrible racist attitudes about, oh, he's black, he shouldn't be in that world of what's the afterworld called, Scandinavian afterworld, Heligoland, what's it called?
I can't think of Ragnarok.
We're terrible.
I was about to say Zion. I'm like,
no.
That's another terrible movie.
Valhalla, yeah. So in Valhalla apparently they're all white. It's fantasy. Mythology is mythology. Myth.
Yes. And I can't get enough Idris Elba anyway.
I know. So there was all this flack about he shouldn't be in there. That's not right, blah, blah, blah. Which always leads to, I'm not a racist, but, which leads to, yeah, you are a racist. So
I feel
up.
Like anytime you need to preface anything with but. I'm not explaining to oppressive thoughts, but.
But.
Yeah.
I saw a great artwork in Canberra, which is just statements. I'm not racist, but... And then Aboriginal people have been given enough stuff over the years. Oh. And like it was a really powerful piece of art.
The only time I ever want to hear like a I'm not racist, but is just never.
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to do it.
I'm not racist, but I'll just move over here and shut up. So look, I think this podcast is definitely taking a different path, a different road. But
it's getting heavy.
I think basically this is where it's actually leading, what I can see, because I think it's all great, you know, that we're all under the rainbow and da 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 da. There's no black in that rainbow. There's no brown in that rainbow.
And I think the hardest thing... And
we are seeing some real problems. And I think generally it's like the microcosm of the macrocosm, you know, and I think it's time, things changed.
One of my favorite rappers actually said this, and she was like, you know... a brown person should be brought up in conversation about race, but the world is black and white. And that's a hard thing because, you know, there's that fine line where it's, you know, white or black, but there's people in that background and there's people that fall in between. And a lot of the times it's just like, if it's not relevant to a certain audience, then no one will hear that conversation.
Mm.
And that's what we need to stop doing.
Yeah. Although speaking of horror films, I am very much looking forward to seeing Get Out, which looks amazing. Mm-hmm. All the trailers look great. And it's just like Stepford Wives meets Guess Who's Coming to Dinner meets Village of the Damned. Just, yeah, perfect for the times of Trump and Turnbull, I think.
I'm really looking forward to The Last of Us 2.
That's right.
You've been waiting for...
When they first like made those announcements, they were thinking about doing it, and I was like, I was really, really undecided on how I felt, because, you know, the way that it ends, I thought the way that first game ended was the perfect way to end any story, because it was just brilliantly done, brilliantly written. The villain in the game, at the end, she's not really... They're not really... Spoilers, the game's been out for years. At the end, like when they have that last like challenge, they're not a villain. They're a person with they're a person with a responsibility. So everyone has their own responsibilities. But when they announce they are doing a second one, and the fact that we're going to have a lesbian as a protagonist it makes me so excited that we have, you know, such a rad woman, such a rad queer character. I can't wait. I mean, can't wipe this smile off my face.
Just since we're doing things we're looking forward to, The Handmaid's Tale for me. Oh, I cannot wait. The trailer just looks so amazing.
People are just,
I'm rereading the book at the moment just so I can be ready.
Yeah.
Dystopical. We love the dystopical. Because the dystopical is kind of topical, kind of true.
Yep.
And
check out our Dystrumpia podcast.
Yes, I know.
Not to forget even, like, say, the throwbacks with, It.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm excited and I hate clowns. I'm terrified of them.
That's kind of the point of the film, so that's good.
It'd be great to film you watching it. Watching it.
Watch Dylan's YouTube channel coming up.
Favorite Stephen King story? Anybody?
It
would actually be pretty close.
It would be?
But probably, it's a little cliched, but The Shawshank Redemption. It's just an exceptionally well-written story.
Yeah, it's not one I would have picked.
I know, this is where I'm going, so.
I'm trying to, narrow it down. I like the Gunslinger series. Yeah. I thought they were rad.
Dark Tower is coming pretty soon.
Misery?
Misery's gone.
Trying to think. I'm like, there's so many.
I've got Writer's Block. Carrie is... And, of course, the original Carrie, Brian De Palma, the film version, just...
Yeah.
I've gone completely blank, but it's the one with the kids and
the Body Stand By Me?
Stand By Me, thank you!
No, sorry, The Body is the name of this book. The story is called The Body, and it's, again, fantastic story. But then the movie was made into Stand By Me, which is just one of my favourite films of all time.
I mean, it makes you feel like so many different things, and you can watch it as a child... And feel so many different things, and you watch it as an adult and just be like dripping with nostalgia.
For me, I think it's really tough, but Cujo or Christine.
Yeah.
Nothing like a possessed car. Yeah.
I hated Cujo because, like, I just felt for the dog. I was just like, take him to a vet.
No, no, and I felt I don't even like dogs, and I felt that. But interestingly, and this is spoilers if you haven't read the book, because in the book, the boy dies, the young boy, where in the movie he survives. So,
oh, well, you know, you can't be all doom
and gloom.
Can
we not just kill children? Is
no,
that,
you know? We can't do that, Clayton.
Says
God.
The school teacher.
That's a red flag. Yeah. Do you know, just going back into books for a moment, I've been reading the Battle Royale novelization.
Oh, nice.
I can only read it in like 40-page allotments, and then I have to like kind of stop.
Well, it's full on.
It's so full on. Oh my God. There was like 3 pages of description of decapitation. And it didn't just go, well, not so much a decapitation, but it was involving a sickle and a throat. But it didn't just go through the physical descriptions. It went through the mental state and the lack of feeling that one character had. And it was just, I had to stop what I was doing and then go take an hour walk in the sun.
Oh, I must watch that. I mean, read that.
What I'm done with, it's going to take me a while to finish reading it because it is pretty intense.
You got a chunk.
Yeah.
You didn't just read The Hunger Games, my mistake. Did
yeah.
You?
No, well, that's what I want, because I haven't actually read The Hunger Games.
I love
I couldn't
Hunger
put
Games
them down.
Book.
I just, the books I just picked up and read, and when I found out the bookshop near me didn't have it, I was like coming off something like drugs. My God, I need that third last book. Quick. But I couldn't stay with the films. I could not stay with the films. They just disappointed me.
I actually think, the first film, the book is better. I actually think the second two, I think the films are better than the books.
Really?
I actually don't like the third book at all. I've read it, and I think it's such a disappointment to the whole series. It destroys the whole series. So
I like how it's a 4-part trilogy.
Yes.
That's what tickles me.
Harry Potter is an 8-part, 7-part thing.
Yeah, yeah, right? yeah.
Yes, look, when Sci-Fi and Scream started, the very first episode we did was about vampires.
I'm not
it was Twilight that. Versus...
Buffy?
Or the
True
Lost
Blood.
Oh,
remember the True Blood days?
Yes.
Yeah, it was a time that was a time. Yes, yeah, so that's going back, and we spent 2 hours debating that. I couldn't believe it could spend 2 hours. But anyway, we did. And in this podcast, you'll hear one of the original tracks that we played.
Sure. If you tell me what it is.
I remember what it is.
Well, we'll add that as a surprise on the end.
I just got into my head. You know, they're from Sydney, Australian-based. They had only done 2 albums.
Oh, that narrows it down.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Inconsiderate. No, not inconsiderate.
They had people in
Oh, gosh, I was playing it last night. Anyway, sorry.
We'll get back
to
you on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tomorrow she's gone. mortality is scaring me to death.
We're sort of running out of time for the studio space. So, Sonia, what are your sort of parting words?
Parting words?
Parting gifts.
Parting gifts. A big gift. I could leave a big gift here. But I won't. Look, it's all about love. No, it's all about love. And that's what got me started, was the love for genre. I just saw that there was nothing else happening like it. On the airwaves, there was a show over in Triple R. There still is. He's still there. What's his name? He came in
that
here.
That guy.
That guy. He came in here and he was wearing a peacock coat. I was like, awesome.
That is amazing.
And it's just been amazing, the amount of guests. I've lost count how many people have come through the doors, through the studio doors, or that I've rung up over the years, or have contributed. And there are just too many to thank. Right from the original, there were so many awesome people that have helped over the years. Yeah, so it's always been about the love of the genre and the different diverse parts of it, from horror, science fiction, fantasy, whatever it's been, book form, television series, film form, games, video games, you know. And seeing things like Critical Hit come out of what we did, actually, they're now known as Checkpoint. And to see a lot of other different presenters like yourself, Dylan and Clayton, be part of the show in one form or the other, or podcast. Mm-hmm. We went from living to dead.
We did.
To dead.
Yeah.
To undead, sorry.
And it's been a great opportunity.
From living to undead to dead.
You taught me a lot about many stuff, not just genre, but people of colour and feminism and all sorts of things like that. So it's been a fantastic opportunity for me. And when I said to you all, you know, we're not going to be on air anymore, what if we work together and keep it going as a podcast? And we've done that quite successfully. So
yeah.
We
yeah.
still
It'd
actually
be about a year, almost a year since we yeah. started the Undead.
And it's actually, I got a year reminder in my Facebook, so yeah.
Cool.
And we are still in the top 10 downloads of the whole station, even though we're not actually live to air.
So we're not alive at all.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
I like saying that. We're not alive.
We're not alive at all.
We're
yeah.
undead. Mm-hmm.
So I think we deserve big kudos for that, and especially you. So.
Absolutely, and especially as a person of colour, because when I came to this station, I may not necessarily have been, I guess, it's too, like, promoting the fact that I'm Polynesian. And then one thing hanging out with Sonia is that she will tell you how you have to be proud of who you are and where you come from and be. And she you taught me how to be a proud Polynesian man. And I can't thank you enough for that.
And I'm not even a man. That's
yeah.
Great.
Oh, are you?
Well, I could be. I'm not sure. I think I'm a cyborg, actually. Synthetic.
Nice.
I'm an alien. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been like being an alien in an environment that hasn't always been very supportive or just aware, I think, awoke to this, to
Absolutely.
The things that happen. I think that's the next stage. I think the next stage is for what happens next, I think, for our community, and particularly in the geek community, is those changes need to happen. Recognition has to happen.
Tokenism, maybe shit.
Maybe the next Queer Geeks of Oz panels may be about colour. I don't know. We never really got that far to really look at that and examine what that means. But the future, hopefully, we will see more of that. And I think, it's just been fantastic working with so many awesome people and you two folks. Thank you very much, Dylan.
Thank you, Sonia.
Love you.
Absolutely. We're both nodding and realizing we're on mics.
Yeah. All this training and yeah. all these years, you still don't know what you're doing. That's great. And I had a message from the wonderful Brian Andy, and it says, and I'll try not to cry, actually, because, you know, we've had some lumps in our throats today. Sonia Maiteta, I will miss seeing you in at Joy, just as I will miss hearing your insightful, unique and proud voice on the pink airwaves. Thanks for all the warm chats, learned insights, exemplary dedication and cream caramel. Love, Brian. I don't remember the cream caramel. Maybe I got him a cream caramel once. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like, I've worked with you for years and I don't know if you've got a cream caramel.
I'm
F you!
Oh, wow. Well, it is Easter. Maybe
all right,
he
people,
means
it's creme caramel for us.
Oh, she. Thanks, Brian. Brother, thank you very much. And I hope you come back to the airwaves too. But thanks for those thoughts. That's it.
And Sonia Hammer, thank you for everything you've done for the queer community over the past 8 years. And I'm sure you'll still do wonderful things for the queer community in the future, just in different formats, in different ways. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think resting.
A period of resting is quite
right.
acceptable.
Like, I've had people message me say, so what are you going to do next? What are you going to do next? I'm like, next, I'm just going to see what's in the fridge.
Yep.
Yep. My fridge.
I give you can have at least like a week off. So.
Oh, at least. At least. Yeah. But rest is important and getting ready for the big releases for the year. I'll still go to those and, check it out and, you know.
All right.
Stuff.
This has been a final-ish podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream Undead.
Final-ish?
I may sneak some reviews in.
Yeah. I like your 5-minute reviews because they're really. Actually 5 minutes.
Yeah. So just keeping it
down.
They're
amazing. They're
rather
really
than,
cool.
Where are we now? so yeah. But anyway, this has been a podcast of Sci-Fi and Scream Undead.
One.
A big one, a long one, but worth it. And a very fond farewell to Sonja Hammer, and thank you to Dylan as well.
No worries.
Thanks to everyone for listening over the years. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.